And it's good to be with you this morning. We appreciate the presence of everyone. We're especially grateful for our visitors. If you're with us, we hope that you'll come back as you have an opportunity. We live in a world of buying and selling. I'm sure this week we will probably buy something. Maybe last week we probably bought something. It's something that's very common. It's something that we do all of the time. And a lot of people are looking for a good deal and a great buy. I think all of us would like to find a sale or something on discount or where we can get a good deal. And when spring comes, Don will be out at the garage sales and he'll be looking for a good deal. This morning I have a good deal for you. I have a great buy. It's probably one of the greatest, in, if not the greatest in all of the world, and that is the truth of God's Word. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. This great proverb. We've been reading through the Proverbs this past year, and we got most of the way through the book. And I want to encourage you, as you have opportunity, to make Proverbs a regular part of your life. These short statements of wisdom are very important for us today. And a lot is packed in to short statements. And we want to focus on Proverbs 23 and 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Some have, just as a suggestion, there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. And some have used that to read one chapter each day on those months that we have 31 days out of the month. You might want to challenge yourself and see if you can do that. It's a great challenge. And to be reminded of these short, pithy statements of God's wisdom and how to live would be good for us. But this morning, I want us to consider the importance of what the writer says here. And he's going to make three points that we want to focus in on this morning. The importance of buying, the importance of understanding what the truth is in a world today where truth is often clouded. And then number three, the importance of holding on to this truth all of our life and not give up. Not give it away, not sell it, not get rid of it, but hold on to it our entire life. The proverb writer says to buy the truth. You know, when we go buy something, we go to the store and buy something, we typically ask ourselves some questions. Do I need this? How important or how valuable is this? How much does it cost? Am I willing to pay the price? Is it worth it? What kind of quality is it? Where is it made? How well is it made? Is it real or a fake? We ask ourselves questions. This morning we're talking about the truth of God's Word, and I want us to understand that we do need this. It's necessary for our salvation, and it's important and it's valuable. And we need to be willing to buy it, to take it for our own. You know, some people are not willing to pay the price of what it takes for the truth of God's Word. Have you ever gone to buy something and you say, well, I'm just not going to pay that? We have to make a decision whether or not we're willing to pay the price to have the truth of God's Word in our life. I want to talk a little bit about some of the prices that we're going to have to be willing to pay in order to buy the truth. Of course, we're speaking, and the proverb writer is speaking figuratively. He's not speaking literally, that we literally take money and buy the Word of God. But figuratively, we take it to ourselves. We accept it. We put it into practice in our life. What are some of the prices that we're going to have to be willing to pay for the truth of God's Word? Well, first of all, in John chapter 12, I think about the Pharisees who, they believed in Jesus, but they wouldn't confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, lest their friends should speak ill of them. And so they weren't willing to step out and confess Jesus. We need to be willing to pay the price of Jesus over family and friends. Are you willing to pay that price? Am I willing to pay that price? When we understand how important truth is, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute, but when we understand how important God's Word is in our life, we need to be willing to pay whatever price that is to make it a part of our life. In the scripture reading that Carlin just had in Matthew chapter 13, the man who finds the treasure and the man who finds the pearl of great price, in both of those, Jesus said he went and sold all that he had to buy this treasure or to buy this pearl of great price. We're going to have to be willing to give up anything that we need to go after it. No sacrifice or price is too great for the truth of God's Word. I think of the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 22, who came to Jesus. He wanted to know what to do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus told him, keep the commandments. And he said, I've done that. What lack I yet? And Jesus said, well, if you would come and be my disciple, go sell all that you have and give to the poor and come follow me and you will have treasure in heaven. And he wasn't willing to do that. We have to be willing to pay the price of Jesus over earthly possessions. Buy the truth. We'll have to be willing to pay the price of Jesus even over our own selves. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus said with regard to being his disciple that we're going to have to deny ourselves and take up our cross and come follow him daily. And a few chapters later in Luke chapter 14, we're going to have to be willing, Jesus said, in order to count the cost and to pay the cost. Whosoever he be of you that renounces not all that he has cannot be my disciple. Luke 14:33. To pay the price of Jesus over self. What we want and what we feel and what we think and what we would like. We've been studying in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you'll turn with me there. There's been a big emphasis in the first part of 1 Corinthians. As you know, Jeff is doing a good job teaching that class. And there's been an emphasis in the first few chapters over man's wisdom versus God's wisdom. God's wisdom, of course, is the truth of God's Word. And we're going to have to be willing to pay the price to have God's wisdom over man's wisdom. And the gospel seems foolishness to some. But we need to be willing to pay the price to say, I want the wisdom of God. In our world today, there's a big premium that is put on intellectualism and man's wisdom that is learned at the university or at the college or from the elite or from the intellectual. And many don't want the simple truth of God's Word. But we're going to have to be willing to pay the price to have God's Word over man's wisdom. Are we willing to pay that price? Like the man who bought the pearl of great price, or the treasure, we must be willing to pay that price for truth regardless of what it is. It may involve confrontation. Look at Galatians chapter 2 with me. When Paul saw that the Apostle Peter was being hypocritical and he saw that he was associating with Gentiles, but then when some Jews showed up, he pulled away and he was acting hypocritically, Paul confronted him. Galatians 2:14, when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth, I said unto Cephas before them all, if you being a Jew livest as do the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, how compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? He was playing it both ways, and Paul confronted him about that. And we need to be willing maybe to even pay the price of confrontation. Later in the book of Galatians, Paul writes, do I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? See, when we buy something, there's a price involved. And we need to be willing to pay that price for the truth of God's Word. It could be persecution. It could be the price of persecution. It could be, Jesus talks about that, where we're persecuted for righteousness' sake in Matthew chapter 5. It could be someone saying something bad about us. It could be somebody who wants to ostracize us. It could be in the religious world of pluralism today where everybody's fine. It could be that you're going to have a statement like, well, you believe you're the only ones, and then fill in the blank. You might have to hear some of that. But when we buy the truth, we are having the most important thing in our life. And we need to be willing to pay that price. Some were not. In John chapter 6, when Jesus taught what disciples would need to do to come follow Him, the text says that they walked no more with Him. They left and walked no more with Him. They didn't want to pay the price. The rich young ruler didn't want to pay the price. Some didn't want Jesus around after the healing of the Gadarene demoniac in the book of Mark. They said, please leave us. When people begin to realize what the price is, then they say, well, you know, that's just too great for me. They don't understand the great reward that they could have if they would just be willing to pay the price for the truth of God's Word. But in Proverbs chapter 23, in verse 23, the second thing that the proverb writer says is that you need to buy. That means there's going to be a price. There's going to be a sacrifice involved. There's going to be a commitment involved. And then he says you need to buy the truth. You need to buy the truth. I can't think of anything more important to talk about this morning in the current world that we're living in than the subject of truth. We are living in a world where truth is becoming lost. And when Pilate asked the question of Jesus, what is truth? John 18:37-38. That is a question we need to be asking today because we are in a world where people don't even want to or they can't have a concept of what truth is. Truth is what matches with reality. We're going to get to the truth of God's Word in the Bible in just a minute, but just look at the concept of truth that would not necessarily have to do with the Word of God. Just what matches with reality? 2 + 2 = 4. That's reality. 2 + 2 = 5. But in our world today, there would be people that would be perfectly fine with 2 + 2 = 5. And we're seeing it all around us. And I'm concerned for our young people here this morning. They're becoming more and more in a culture where truth and reality are being blurred and obscured. And it appears that many people are fine with it. By the truth. Our young people are going to have to learn to stand up for what is true and just reality. The earth is not flat. It's not flat. But there are people today that would be perfectly fine with saying the earth is flat. We know from so many sources now and evidences that the earth is a circular shape or a spherical shape. It's not flat. Reality is that it is spherical. The reality is that the sun stays still and the earth rotates around the sun. That's reality. Not that the sun rotates around the earth. One's real, one's not. But we're in a world where truth is being lost. Reality is not being accepted for whatever reason. It could be agendas, ideologies, human wisdom. But we must buy the truth. We must have a reality-based life. And this past summer, when we were experiencing a number of riots in our nation, you may recall the burning of Kenosha, Wisconsin. There was an evening where on the news, the reporter's out in the street, and behind him is this massive fire that's just ablaze. Just fire everywhere. And he's got his microphone and he says, "I'm out here in front of a mostly peaceful protest." So the word peaceful now includes fires and rioting and looting. We can't even speak reality anymore. That's not reality. Peaceful, that's not peaceful. We're using words and we're trying to say things that aren't real. It'd be like saying 2 + 2 = 5 this evening and people being fine with that. We're in trouble. When we're in a world when we can't even describe what is real anymore, let alone the Word of God. We're seeing it with the transgender situation. And it's getting out of hand. And we have lawmakers who are saying, I cannot describe Bob as a he anymore. I'm not allowed to do that. We're altering language. We're altering reality. We're trying to. And that is dangerous. You are either male or you are female. Period. And yet, we're hearing today, no, that's not what it is. No, that's what it is. So we live in a world where reality is slowly slipping away. Or at least some are trying to make it that way. And so we must buy the truth. We must base our life on what is real. Not on words and redefining of words. And people standing and telling us bald-faced lies and just, no. I am going to be someone who bases my life on the reality, like 2 + 2 = 4. Now, when it comes to the Word of God, John 17:17, thy Word is truth. You hold in your hands statements of reality with regard to how to become a Christian and with regard to how to live faithfully as a Christian and what's going to happen at the end of time, the judgment day and heaven and hell. These are realities because God speaks truth. His Word is truth. Jesus is truth. John 14:6. God's Word is truth. John 17:17. The Holy Spirit would come and guide the apostles into all the truth. John 16:13. John actually is a book of reality and truth. There's a lot mentioned in the Gospel of John and even the epistles of John about truth. And we have to have a love for that truth and buy that truth. And Jesus said, you can know it. John 8:32. You can know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We live in a world where truth is being blurred and obscured. And we've got to get back to living a life based upon the real. And ignore all of that other. We're going to have to learn to ignore that. Young people, you're going to have to learn to just ignore what adults are saying about things that aren't real. It's a shame that we have to even talk like that, but that's the world that we live in. And we can know the truth, the reality of things around us. We're going to have to search for it, seek for it. We're going to have to do some buying. We're going to have to do some acquiring and making it our own. But we can know truth. Paul talks about the truth of the gospel in Ephesians 1:13. And we can know that. Not only must we buy truth, reality, but we need to buy only the truth. There's a temptation today to mix truth with error, to mix reality with non-reality. Now, I've given you a few examples of that earlier. That's what's going on here. There's a mixture, and we've got to learn to separate all of that. And there is the truth of God's Word. And then Paul talks about, in 2 Corinthians 11, some were wanting to preach another Jesus. And in Galatians chapter 1, some were wanting to preach another gospel. There's always going to be that out there in the area of religion, in the area of science, and other areas where people are going to try to mix some truth with error. And we've got to not only buy the truth, but buy only the truth. And then we need to buy all of it. Even the parts that may be uncomfortable, even the parts that may be challenging, even the parts that require sacrifice, all of the truth. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20 preached the whole counsel of God. The psalmist says in Psalm 119 that the sum of thy word is truth. The sum, all of it together. We're not just going to buy the parts that we agree with. We're not going to just simply buy the parts that are non-controversial. But all of it. All of it. All of it is truth. All of it is right. Turn with me to Psalm 119. There are points in the truth of God's Word that you'll get people to like and agree with you on, but there's going to be some other things maybe that somebody doesn't agree with. We still have to go with the truth. Psalm 119, 128. Psalm 119, 128. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Verse 142. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is truth. Verse 151, Thou art nigh, O Jehovah, and all Thy commandments are truth. Not just some of it, all of it. And of course, 160, The sum of Thy word is truth, and every one of Thy righteous ordinances endure forever. Let us go out this morning and buy the truth. By only the truth, by all of the truth. I think about Apollos in Acts chapter 18, who needed to learn the way of the Lord more accurately. He needed to be taught more accurately. And I think about him, and Priscilla and Aquila helped him along the way. And then he went out and preached more. If there is an area in our life where we need more learning and more teaching and more growth, let's do that. Where we can buy all of the truth. And then we need to learn to buy that truth now. I'm not much of an impulse buyer. Every once in a while I'll do something like that. But let me encourage impulse buying this morning. You buy that truth now. You get it now. Every once in a while, I will buy a product at the store because I saw it earlier in the day on a commercial. It doesn't happen very often. And it usually probably involves some sort of a food item. And, you know, you'll go, hey, I'm going to run to the store and get that. The devil wants us to put it off. The devil wants us to procrastinate. The devil wants us to kick the can down the road, so to speak, and not deal with it and not worry about the situations now. But we're not going to do that. He wants us to put off the purchase. But we don't find that in the book of Acts. We find that individuals obeyed the gospel in the same hour of the night. Paul says that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. We're not going to be like Felix. Go thy way when I have a convenient season, Acts 24. We're not going to be like Agrippa. Almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian. We're going to do that today. We're going to buy that truth today. We're going to come to the knowledge of the truth today, 1 Timothy 2:4. We know what is right and good, James 4:17, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We know the truth. We know that it's right. And we're going to put that into practice in our lives today. And then the proverb writer says, buy the truth and sell it not, yea, wisdom and instruction and understanding. I want to talk about those three words for just a moment and then we'll move on. Notice the statement in Proverbs 23, wisdom, instruction, and understanding. And those three words are beautiful because they touch on three aspects of our relationship with the Word of God. Take the middle one, instruction, where we hear or read something in the Word of God. And then we need to study that more so that we can understand it. And then after we understand it, we need to apply it. There's your wisdom. And so instruction, hearing and reading the Word of God, understanding, learning the Word of God, and wisdom, applying the Word of God. And we're going to do that today. And then the proverb writer says, and sell it not. There's one last thing that the proverb writer talks about with regard to the Word of God, and that is that there is a danger in getting rid of the truth after we buy it. Don't barter it. Don't trade for it. Don't sell it. Keep it safe and make it permanent. Have you ever sold something after you bought it? We do that from time to time. We sell something after we have bought something. Maybe we've had it a long time, like a yard sale. Maybe we don't need it anymore. Maybe we decided we wanted something else and all of that's fine. But with regard to the truth of God's Word, once we purchase it, we need to hold on to it. Not like Judas, who got rid of it. Not like Peter, who denied the Lord. Not like Demas, who forsook Paul, having loved this present world. Not like individuals in the New Testament who fell away. We must not sell the truth. We must not get rid of it after we buy it. Sometimes people sell under pressure. Talking about some of the mayhem this past year, there have been a number of small business owners in various cities who they can't hold business anymore where they're at. Things are so terrible in their town that they can't even open up their store anymore. And so they're under pressure now to sell and leave and go to some other state where it's nicer to live. They sell under pressure. Sometimes people sell because they have to. Sometimes Christians get under pressure. They get under pressure from the world. They get under pressure from some sort of temptation or some problem that is going on in life. And they sell. They cave. They get rid of the Word of God. Some people sell for a lie. Do you remember what Paul said in Romans 1:25? They exchange the truth of God for a lie. And that's what our young people are going to have to be very careful about in days to come. You're being lied to. You're being lied to. About transgender and other types. It's just a lie. It's not reality. And so you're going to have to hear that, and our young people especially who are going off to school, you're going to hear some things that just are not true. No matter how profound the professor makes it sound, it's just not true. Don't ever sell the truth of God for a lie. Don't ever sell it, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, because someone comes along and says something in a smooth way and tickles your ears, and Paul talks about that. They will not endure the sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap to themselves teachers after their own lust and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside unto fables. That's what's going on. Just stories, just things that aren't true. Don't sell for false teaching. Some false teaching sounds really good, but don't do that. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 18, Hymenaeus and Philetus were saying that the resurrection is already past, and Paul says that concerning the truth they have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already. Look at this. And overthrow the faith of some. Don't let that be you. People can say all kinds of things that sound good, but don't let that overthrow your faith. Don't sell out for a lie. Don't sell out for false teaching. Don't sell out for human stories and myths. And like Demas in 2 Timothy 4:10, don't sell out for worldly pleasure. Keep the truth of God's Word and do not sell it. You know, some people sell things after a long time. We have things around the house, I'm sure you do too, that we've had for so long. It's kind of like, well, you know, I really don't. Some piece of something out in the garage somewhere, you know. I don't need this anymore. And what happens is that our young Christians grow up in Christian homes and they're raised by godly parents, and we have godly parents and grandparents here today. And I'm encouraged by that. And our young people are raised right. And they're raised on the truth of God's Word. But after a long time, like we talked about this morning in class, after a long time, some just give up on it. Don't sell after a long time. Buy the truth and sell it not. Friends, the truth is the best purchase you will ever make in life. Let's go out this morning making it our own. Number one, being willing to pay whatever that price is to personally have it in our life. Number two, to live a life based on reality. It's a shame that we should even have to say that, but we have to say that now. Live a life based upon what is real. And the truth, especially, of God's Word. And number three, don't ever, ever sell it. No matter how great the pressure, no matter what somebody says when they come along offering something different, we're just going to say no to that. I'm happy with the purchase that I've made, and I'm going to keep that my whole life. Friends, our soul's destiny depends on it. And so, maybe this morning, in your buying of the truth, you need to come and put on Christ in baptism, or if you've erred in some way, to come back to the Lord. But let's go out this morning with that resolve that we're going to pay that price. We know what the truth is, and we're going to keep it our entire life. And if we can help you to build your life on that truth, why wouldn't you come as we stand and as we sing?